In the name of our loving, life-giving, liberating God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It is a principal feast of the church. And for us in this parish, which is named for the Holy Trinity, it is especially important to observe this feast that celebrates the three persons of God. In whatever way we can approach the mystery of God as three in one and one in three. That's a little beyond me. I am not quite the systematic theologian that Father Christopher is. I think I made him a little nervous this past week when I jokingly said that I wasn't worried about preaching heresy today. Of course, what I meant by that is that I have no intention of trying to explain this doctrine of the Trinity. I'm not going to spend time trying to describe the divine triune being in terms of shamrock or electricity or music or ice and steam and water. All of these metaphors fall way too short of the reality of God. So let's talk instead about God who is love. Love can never be just one. There must always be one who loves and the one who is the beloved. And the perfect love of God can never be just two. There must always be the one who loves, the beloved, and then that incredible love that flows between them as a person. That's how we get to three who are all one love, one God. And that's about as far as I'm comfortable taking this talk about Trinity. I want to be careful not to say more than I've heard in Scripture or in our Orthodox Anglican tradition. We don't want to cause Father Christopher to lose any sleep now, do we? Our scripture lessons hint around about God who is Father, God who is Son, and God who is Holy Spirit, but nowhere do we find the word Trinity or an explanation of how God is both three and one at the same time. There isn't really any clear description or explanation of Trinitarian theology anywhere in Scripture. We do a little bit better with our prayer book tradition. So rather than spend a lot of time on the philosophical and theological understanding of the Trinity, I prefer to ponder the Trinity's implications for Christian life. I've been meditating on the fact that God exists in a communion of equals who share one calling, one goal, one life, one substance, a communion of perfect love between unique individuals who are stronger together than they could be apart. And that helps me to understand the life of the church better, because if we're made in the image of God and God is community, then it makes sense that we need community. We need a community that is called together to move in the same general direction, loving each other and serving God in the world. Our calling on Trinity Sunday is neither figuring out the Trinity or explaining it. Our calling is to live the holy, liberating communion of the Trinity in our lives and in the holy and loving community that we call Holy Trinity Episcopal Parish. I spent some time meditating on the reading from Romans this past week, which doesn't explain the Trinity, but it does a pretty good job of painting a picture of beloved community. This practice of Lectio Divina, or holy reading of Scripture, includes hearing the passage read aloud several times, and each time listening deeply in the silence that follows for whatever it is the Spirit has to say. The version of this passage from Romans to which I listened in Lectio Divina this week was a little bit different from what Claiborne just read. I was listening to the message, which is a paraphrase rather than a translation. And this is what lit up for me in hearing this passage in a new way. God's Spirit beckons, calling us, saying, come. This resurrection life we receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who God is, and we know who we are, God's beloved children. So God's Spirit beckons. The Spirit bids us to enter into the communion of perfect love that is shared by the Trinity. We who are flawed, sin-sick, selfish, impaired, emotionally stunted, spiritually immature, all of us who are in need of healing and restoration, we are invited into the flow of perfect love between the three persons of our life-giving, liberating God with all of our imperfections. And we're invited to bring our differences, our fearful solitude, our pride of position, all the things that divide us. We are invited to bring those into the healing presence of divine love. I'm going to borrow a little bit here from our beloved presiding Bishop Michael Curry and the message he shared with the world the other day. We have been given the gift of God's love as a balm to ease the fear, the self-centeredness, the loneliness, the brokenness that is so much a part of our being human. The balm of God's love soothes the ragged hurts of being human and in community. Because, make no mistake, being human and in community often leads to being hurt, does it not? So that balm of God's love soothes that for us, but it doesn't take it away. And it doesn't mean giving up our differences and becoming homogeneous. Being in communion calls for something much more difficult than that. It calls for remembering our love for one another, even while we disagree. It calls for remembering our love for one another enough to allow each of us to live and move and have our being in the ways that are uniquely our own. Just as the Trinity lives and moves and has being as unique individuals, yet consisting of one power, one substance, one love. When we accept the invitation of the Spirit's beckoning, we enter into what Bishop Curry calls the way of love. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of us all, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God. My brothers and sisters, that's a new heaven, a new earth, a new world, a new human family. The Spirit beckons, saying, come, join the communion of perfect love that waits to enfold us and to show us how to remember the love that God has for us and that we have for each other. And remember that God who created you loves you. God who redeems you loves you. God who makes you holy, despite all of your flaws, loves you. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, what are you going to do with that love? How are we going to live together in that love? The Spirit beckons. Won't you come with us on the way of love?